Hello, Screeters. I hope everyone out there, men, women, children, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, all had a good Father's Day yesterday. I always find Father's Day to be a little weird. I have my stepdaughter that I've been in her life since she was about 4, and she's 27 or 26 now, so quite a while, but I don't know how much parenting I necessarily did. I left most of those decisions to her mother, my wife Heidi. I think I was a father figure. I don't know. It's not something that I've ever asked her, and maybe that's part of the reason that we're not as close as we could be. I don't know if we need to be. I haven't really been much in the life of my actual daughter. I haven't really spoken to her in a couple of years at least now. I occasionally try to reach out, but she doesn't respond, which is sad. I think it's one of those things in my life that I don't think about a lot, because if I did, I'm not sure what I would do. I know there's things that I could do to make it better. I could work at that. I could make that a priority. I haven't. I feel like I don't want to push myself on someone who doesn't want me to. But maybe that's what I have to do. I don't know. What I do know is today is Monday. I don't know anything else because my mind just dropped out. Monday, June 20th, 2022. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey Hobbs, it's Joe. I just wanted to thank you for your episode on West March's games. Actually, to be honest, I prefer the term open table. But first point, of course you're an expert on this. You did Hex Crawl, and I've listened to all 11 episodes. And I have to say, with you, plus Justin Alexander talking about open table gaming and his practical stuff on his blog, plus the original West March's stuff that I read a long while ago, pretty much these are the reasons why I'm doing this game. And so, you know, you have a third part in that. And I actually think that because you keep talking about it and you keep, like, pumping up with enthusiasm, you got me there, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. So thank you. Also, thank you for the tips. And you're right. I think the biggest point to take away in terms of getting players on board is just to build some momentum. That's having a kind of consistency about when I'm starting to run and then being open to the players suggesting extra sessions, which is a great idea. But thank you so much for your time. Be well. Game on.
All right. There is Jay Webster from Roleplay Rescue calling to thank us for last episode. I don't know. We haven't really got a lot of responses. A couple. I'm going to play some messages from Carl Rodriguez coming up here in a little bit. But you did say something that you prefer open table. I believe that all West March's games are open table games. But I do not believe that all open table games are West March's games. If that makes any sense, of course you can use whatever terms you want to, my man. You're the man. You should. It's your game. You should call it whatever you want to. In my personal lexicon, that's the way it works. Of course, we don't have a universal gaming lexicon. It's just like any other part of the language. Whatever it morphs into, it does. So I'm hoping to get into one of those Hyrath games. Is that how you pronounce it? Hyrath? 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 I don't know. What I do know, Carl Rodriguez is up next.
Hey, Jason, thanks for that 11-minute primer. Hopefully we can get you maybe on Cerebrivore to talk about that in more depth. And although, interestingly, it has inspired me to maybe put together like a West March's type thing for a space game. I've kind of been looking into Hostel, which is something that, you know, it's like Alienverse with the serial numbers filed off, it seems to me, but it uses a Cepheus engine, so more classic Traveler, Mongoose Traveler 1, although Mongoose Traveler 2 is not that different. And I might try to develop something like that, but like the dilemma is like, okay, the conceit in Traveler-type games is you have a ship, so is the spaceport the safe space, and then can you go out into the world and explore? Or is it a bit of both? And what do characters want to do? Go out into the system or jump or what?
All right, as promised, Carl Rodriguez calling in about hex crawls. So, first of all, Cerebivore. What is a Cerebivore? It's obviously some kind of brain trust, so to speak, but does it only eat brains like an omnivore or a carnivore? It's obviously got cerebrum or cerebral brain in the beginning. I don't know. I should listen to more episodes. Maybe I'll find out. Now, on to the topic of the space hex crawl. I think that Richard of Cockatrice Nuggets? Yeah, it is Cockatrice Nuggets. There for a second, I got it confused with Eric Saul's Weedles. No, oh, not No Soup for You. That's Cody M. Super Omega 3D Chicken Coop is Eric Saul's Weedle. Yeah, so anyway, as I was saying, Rich had called in and mentioned the idea of a space hex crawl. But as far as you're concerned, if we're talking about in the Traveler verse, I guess it depends. As a hex crawl, or is it an open table, or is it West Marches? As a hex crawl, I think you could just do that. Is what a regular Traveler game probably is. But if we're talking West Marches, then yes, I suppose it would be a spaceport or like maybe a large space station, like a Deep Space Nine sort of thing. But I think you could also do it. One of my ideas for Relentless was a fairly large generation ship. And if you had a generation ship that was hurtling through space that had the ability to have other ships on it, a la Battlestar Galactica type armada, you could delve off of the armada, go do some stuff, and then come back to the armada, and then that could be your changing group. Maybe each person has different ships, or maybe there's just one ship. It probably depends, you know, on what level the characters are and what they rolled up as far as it goes. I don't know for sure, but that would be, I mean, there's a couple ideas right there. And if it is, maybe it isn't that big of a ship, maybe it's just a merchant ship that has smaller ships on it that people have to come back to at the end of every session. Because if it was just, it depends on how easy it is to jump from your safe point, I suppose, because then the travel could be as easy as it is anything. Could be similar to traveling on the ship in Forlorn Shores, where, you know, you just pay your money, there might be one event on the way, and then that affects you in somehow, and then you're at the planet or in the system that you want to be in, and it just costs money or something. I don't know. I think these are all things that you could consider, and I would love to discuss them with you in the future.
I think the main thing to consider is that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? If you have a fault, you shouldn't criticize other people. That is not to say that what these people did should be, you know, power public opinion and don't work with these people if they treat people badly, right? I don't know if that's going to cause them to totally lose all their IP and the work they've done before. I guess that's happened to some people. Maybe they'll bounce back. Maybe they need to really sit down and self-evaluate and apologize. And sometimes I think people deserve a second chance. So if they're really contrite and apologetic and make amends, then maybe they do. Anyway, that's my humble opinion. And I'll put my rock down now. A fun fact that I learned about rocks and glass houses is actually the reference initially comes from a phrase in Chaucer's 1385 poem. Imagine that, Geoffrey Chaucer, with cliches that stand to this day. The poem Troilus and Cressida, it originally came, it was people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So it was also used by George Herbert in 1651, whose house is of glass must not throw stones at one another. So it's a interesting phrase, and it's been in our English literature and culture for a long time. So pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Personally, I feel like I'm over it. It didn't really touch me, so I don't have a lot of skin in that game. Of course, I feel bad for any of the people who lost money. I think I saw a post somewhere that Satine misappropriated $40-some thousand. I don't know. People say that we shouldn't have celebrities or influencers in the gamosphere. I don't think you can stop it. I think the people who are doing things and sharing things with people are going to create communities around themselves. I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to do. Am I trying to do that? I don't know. I don't know if it matters. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things. We'll see how it shakes out. As always, I would plead caution and self-evaluation before evaluating others. Judge ye not. Judge ye, lest ye be judged. Also, about the glass houses and throwing stone. What exactly is a glass house? Is somehow can we appropriate that term to mean an influencer or someone who is famous enough that everybody can see what they're doing on social media? Maybe we can all see what everyone does on social media. Maybe we're all in glass houses. Isn't there a glass houses song by, I don't know, Blondie or someone? I don't know. This is a fascinating subject. I should have done more research. But alas, I did not. Therefore, I shall leave it to ye, podcaster, who may be listening. What is a glass house and how does it address us in the future? Or callers, give me a call. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to do it this episode. Maybe I'll hear what other people have to say and then we'll talk about it. I don't know. But on with the show.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
Status report. You know, I've actually added random screed to the mental health category as opposed to games or recreation or whatever it is. But I don't really always talk about mental health. I just talk about what's going on in my life, really, and how, you know, that is affected by gaming or vice versa or whatever. I hope that doesn't offend anyone, and I hope anyone who came here looking for mental health finds what they're looking for. But I feel like lately I've been in a pretty good place. I don't know if that has to do more with the legalization of recreational use of marijuana or cannabis, but that certainly has assisted me. I'm a big microdoser. I mean, saying big and microdose, that might be a oxymoron right there, but I think that helps me a lot. Keeps me grounded. CBD helps me a lot, and I'm going to continue to do those things as time goes on. Gaming wise, I reported here some episodes ago of the loss of our OSE aired game because the GM's company that he works at had been purchased and he didn't think he had a job or a change, but things have changed again and we're back on Tuesday nights. But in the interim, the GM, Zach, decided that Foundry was not doing what he wanted and he preferred Fantasy Grounds. So he seems like a pretty, I don't know, legitimate, I'm not going to say expert, but he seems to know his shit concerning the various VTTs, so I will trust him. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Fantasy Grounds. Everything feels slower in it to me. It doesn't really seem to speed up anything, but that could be user mastery is lacking there. I don't know. Anyhow, we are playing Castles and Crusades in aired now. Last Tuesday was our first return to from the hiatus. Tomorrow will be the next session. We're just starting up where we took off. Last session was pretty slow. But I had a bit of insomnia last night. And for whatever reason, I couldn't stop thinking about this game and how we seemed to be treading water a bit last session and trying to figure out, which is expected. We hadn't played in a few weeks, maybe a month. I don't know, maybe two. So it makes sense that we wouldn't be sure. But we haven't really ever had a solid goal. I really feel like in this setting, in this era of the setting, the goal really should be establishing a new community slash society slash civilization in an area that has been opened up from a great evil being destroyed. Now, how long ago was the great evil destroyed? I don't know. Some of these things I don't know. I considered purchasing the player guide to Aird, but I decided not to pull that trigger. We'll see. Like I say, it moved to Castles and Crusades, which I've only played Castles and Crusades maybe a couple times, maybe once, I don't know. As documented here on the screen, we played it in the GRGA, my family home group, and it was fine. I wouldn't say it's the game I love, but I would say it's probably relatively similar to any of the other games, including OSE, as a player. I don't know, there's obviously going to be some system mastery, and system does matter, but not a huge amount as far as player side facing goes, in my opinion. It's not totally right, but I think when you're talking about the OSR games, if Castles and Crusades isn't indeed an OSR game, and I would be hard-pressed to say that it isn't, then, you know, it shouldn't be a huge deal. There was some conversion for the characters. I'm now using a class specifically out of the Player's Guide to Aird. Damn, I can't stop yawning. Anyway, that game is going again. I'll be curious to see where it goes tomorrow. I think the intent is to get into long-term domain play, and I'm pretty excited about that. And Castles and Crusades seems to have more rules for that, according to the GM. I'm going to trust him on it. I mean, BX had some. I don't know to what extent it is, but it has a lot of rules on adherence and henchmen and the differences and how to maybe use those in play. And I just kind of wing it mostly. But I'm really curious to see where that goes. Up next, listening to podcasts again, everybody. As screeders here will know, the end of gaming and BS is nigh. The last episode might have been last night or next Monday, so that's interesting. I do know that Sean P. Kelly of Gaming and BS fame is doing How to RPG, a YouTube channel, and also a podcast known as GM Mastermind, where he brings, he has a panel and they have a specific topic, and he brings in different GM type people to talk about that topic and get all of their expert opinions and comments on whatever topic there are. So go check out GM Mastermind and enjoy, my friends, enjoy. I think in some of the podcasts I've been listening to from the RPG Anchorites or RPG content creators, or I don't know what everyone's calling themselves, if anything. I still perform the old terms, the ones that I came up with, of course. And I'm a grognard, I guess, in that way. But one thing I've heard people talking about is immersion. Who talking about immersion? What's immersion? Another comment that I've heard a lot of people say is realistically. And then they often get browbeat and downtrodden by someone saying, how can you talk about realistic when we're talking about elf games? Well, let me tell you, I don't really believe they're thinking realistic in the way that it has to mirror our own reality. What I would call it is the suspension of disbelief, which we all use when we're watching a movie, playing a game, reading a comic, whatever. And when that suspension of disbelief is blocked, then there is a disconnect, and oftentimes it's difficult to regain that disconnect, which breaks immersion. So, in that case, there is a possibility for my suspension of disbelief to be broken and not necessarily for it to be realistic or not. So I think that terminology of, or that browbeating or bullying of some saying, hey, you can't use realistic when we're talking about fantasy games. So just use suspension of disbelief. My suspension of disbelief is broken when this happens. Some people can't play superhero games. Thaddeus, because they don't believe it fits in any of the RPGs or it's difficult to do, which I think he's totally wrong. I think someone needs to maybe read more comics or know more about the superhero genre, and they wouldn't say something like that, but that is neither here nor there. As far as immersion goes, I think it kind of just reminds me of the old conversation that I've had multiple times, inspired by the Misdirected Mark podcast, concerning the levels of play and where that fits in. Mostly I'm talking about Cleric's Rare Ringmail, because I know he was talking about immersion recently. He also started his own Discord, people, where he's going to be doing his Zero Edition Dungeons & Dragons chainmail hack. So where you can go from character to mass combat without a lot of changes in the system that you're using or the system mechanisms. So that's pretty interesting to me. Go check that out if you have the opportunity, or if you've been given an invite, I guess. I don't know if it's invite only or what it is, but that's some happening news, of course. What else? I think that's it. I think that's all I wanted to say about immersion. I've definitely covered the topic in the past, so I'm just going to skim across it. If anyone has anything they want to say concerning the suspension of disbelief, let me know. Let me know. I still have a pretty long list of notes concerning a deep dive into my experience at NTX, which I'm going to go into. And I really have to go over my list of people who agreed to go on Hobbs and Friends and maybe work on my next BX episode, Bygone Exhumations. I will tell you that I'm still intending to release the Librem Society as a podcast and Bygone Exhumations. I just got to figure out how to do that. And I'm in the works of asking some people in the know and seeing if I can get their aid on that. And also, I'm really looking towards trying to, at this point, maybe I'll change my mind in the future, trying to create some sort of hub of core community around gaming and mental health on my Discord, the Gamerhood, which has always been the goal to bridge that gap out of the horseshoe ends between narrative and OSR play styles, and just being cool and happy and engaging and inclusive to all the peoples out there who might want to play some games. All right, I'm not going to get crazy. I think that'll wrap up the episode, and hopefully we can get back and forward to NTX soon. So thanks for listening. It's been, people have been doing my catchphrase, which I stole from somebody else, but hey, art is theft. It's better to burn out than to fade away, people. Stay alive. You got a job to do. I'll catch you next time.
Lost in a gutter, baby.